The sermon this morning is based on our gospel reading from Matthew, from Luke chapter 4. And I reread verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. And he took him to Jerusalem and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you. And on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone." And Jesus answered him, "It is said, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord. You are our rock and our salvation. Amen. On the pink or purplish colored insert on one side, there's some sermon notes if you'd like to follow along. And there's details here good for us to dig into and think about. And it's both simple and also complex. Complex and simple. That we are tempted by Satan oftentimes with things that at first seem quite good. Or maybe in a different way they would be good. But the devil tempts us to go against God's will. We have the fake dollar bill, very pretty, very nice, a lot of colors, some of our favorite colors, but it won't buy anything. We have the real dollar bill, just green and black and grays, but it does buy something. Jesus was given temptations, faced temptations from the devil. And standing on their own, apart from the situation, the temptations, the specific three temptations, might not be bad, but in their context, the way Jesus was supposed to live and work and do his work as a Messiah, they were temptations to sin. So, that first temptation, he's very hungry. Bread is good for the Son of God, right? Bread's good. Jesus, you were born of the Virgin Mary, and you took on human nature. You are the Son of God, and you took on humanity as well. And so bread's good for you. You're very hungry. Isn't that good for you? And then the next temptation, well, you're the Son of God. Isn't ruling the nations good for you? Isn't that good for the Son of God to do, to rule the nations? So let me show you all the glory and authority of those nations. You see that, Jesus? See all that beauty? It's good for you. If you're Son of God, you should rule. So I'll tell you what. Since I have power and authority over these things, if you bow down and worship me, I'll give them to you. That would be good, right? And then the devil picks up on what Jesus is doing as Jesus continues to quote Scripture. And in that third temptation, well, using God's promises, proving God's word is true and using his promise, that's good for you, the Son of God, right? Let me quote some passages to you. Jesus, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. Prove these true, and that's a good thing for the Son of God to do, is to prove God's word is true, right? And each of these temptations, though in a certain way they might be good in a certain setting, in this setting, they were wrong. In this setting, what appeared to be good was not good. was a sin. Satan brings such temptations to us too, and to people who aren't Christians. Something that appears to be good or beautiful or charming or enriching, or you give the word. If you do this, then you'll be better. Then you'll be healthy. Then you'll be wise. Then you'll be wealthy. You can just... It'll be good for you if you do this. Jesus took the tact. Jesus took the decision to not go after the bright and colorful thing, but to go after his Father's will, to go after what he knew he should do and live out as the Messiah. My wife and I were talking earlier this week, and we thought of situations around the world, but oftentimes the temptation that comes to us doesn't look bad. It looks, as I said in our discussion, it looks shiny. It looks new. It looks nice. It looks like it will help me. But in fact, that shiny thing, that good thing, is not the will of God, and thus it is evil and will lead us away from God, and thus it is sin. The devil did not say to Adam and Eve, you want to be really bad? You want to spoil everything? You want to make everybody go to hell? I'll tell you what you should do. It's not what the devil said. I'm jumping down a little bit. But the devil said, you won't die. God knows when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. That's what the devil said. Everything, if you eat this, Eve, everything will be good for you. Not everything will be bad for you. In fact, God's lying to you. God said you will die. You won't die. It's going to be good. And that's the way the devil frequently comes to us. This is good. This is right. This is better. We have that proverb, don't we? The grass is always greener on the other side of the fence. And I have a little blank there as other. Because the temptation oftentimes comes to us and says, that person over there has it better than me, the other side. And we keep thinking about, or the temptation keeps us thinking about, I should be like that over here, not the way God has put me here, not the way God has shaped my life now. I should be that way, that other way, not God's way, but my way, what I think is better. And we should be very clear that the scripture teaches us and warns us that this is a normal way the devil tempts to make something look good or godly or wise. I have printed out there 1 Corinthians 11, 12 through 15. And what I am doing, I will continue to do, Paul says, in order to undermine the claim of those who would like to claim that in their boasted mission they work on the same terms as we do. For such men are false apostles, deceitful workmen, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. So it is no surprise if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness. Their end will correspond to their deeds. And I don't want to mislead you, but I think that's 2 Corinthians. I'll look this up. Because you'll go home and you'll say, Pastor, you gave us the wrong passage. 11:2. Yeah, right in 2 Corinthians. Chapter and verse is correct. 2 Corinthians, I thought that was wrong. An angel of light, Paul says. So the devil doesn't tell us what this temptation is going to make us bad or going to make us a sinner. The devil says, no, it's going to be good for you. And everything he presents to us is in the way of light and goodness. When, in fact, if we know the word of God and the will of God, we'll see it's wrong. It's not. And people deceive and tempt us with shiny things to lead us away from God's will. Lead us away from God's word. To sin. To separate us from God. So how do we sort this out? Because this happens a lot. Well, it's very helpful that this temptation that Adam and Eve had is recorded for us in Scripture. It's the first temptation. It worked for Adam and Eve, and the devil uses it, and you'll see there's three blanks, over and over and over again. He uses it always, over and over and over again. The serpent said to the woman, "You will not surely die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and it was a delight to the eyes and the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate, and she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Two things you see, there's many things to see in this passage, but there's two things for this morning. First of all is the devil's lies. And that's the first part. You will not surely die. Contradict God. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Don't listen to God. Contradicting God's word, contradicting his will, contradicting the lies from Satan. And then the second part that happens there is Eve gets to think it herself. Oh, that tree, the food looks good. The fruit looks good. And it looks beautiful. It's bright and shiny. And so also it's going to make me wise. And I'll give it to my husband. Wow, this is a winner all the way around. It was her thinking. You see that? The devil's words, a temptation, and then human thinking that are not aligned with God's words. Temptations come to us like this frequently. First of all, the temptation goes against God's word, goes against his clear will. And then the temptation is to say, okay, why should I go against that? Because it's good for me, actually. It's not bad for me. It's good for me. So we need to be aware of two things. When that temptation is against God's word, it's wrong. And then if we're still not sure and we're still being tempted, we have to be careful of our own thinking. Because we'll put in some justification to do that thing. God's word is wrong, and this is what I think. God's word is wrong, and this is what I think. And then we're tempted. We're not listening to God's word anymore, and we're listening to my thinking, and we do what we want. Jesus, in this temptation from the devil, and this is something Satan does frequently, we have to be careful because God's word is holy and perfect. It reveals God's will. But we have to be careful because sometimes the devil says, look at these three sentences and do it like this. Don't worry about those sentences before or after. Don't worry about that part. Just do this, do this. In Psalm 91, the devil left out the following verses. He said, for to Jesus, he said, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So, Jesus, jump. They're going to hold you up. But if we look at all the psalm, you will tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the serpent will trample underfoot. Maybe he could have tempted Jesus, step on that snake. But verses 14 and 15. As the psalmist writes this and God's protection, the psalmist then continues and closes with verses 14, 15, and 16. And it's in a quote. God says to the psalmist, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. And I'll just give this much, because there's more in the following verse, but just that. Verse 14. Verse 14, the reason God gives protection is because he knows my name and holds fast to me in love. Jumping off the temple would not be holding fast to God's name and not loving God. That is to tempt God. And so Jesus said to the devil, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Devil, that you did not tell me the whole Psalm 91. I am supposed to hold to God with love and know his name. And the whole psalm would show me that. The whole psalm would show I'm not supposed to jump off and test God because that is not loving God. And verses 15 and 16 strengthen that all the more. And that oftentimes is the deception to us. We'll take a part of God's holy word and say, oh, look what it says right here. So that means you should do this and this and this and this and this. But don't bother with what says before or after. Don't bother with that. The psalmist says, because he holds fast to me in love, I will deliver him. I will protect him because he knows my name. Yes, God's protection is promised in Psalm 91 and promised to Jesus. But according to God's will, according to how we love him and hold fast to his name, that's how his protection comes, not testing God. So God calls us to know his word, to hold fast to him, to grow in it. We also, and very important, that not only the context of God's word and looking at all of God's word together, but to know that for certain God's word is true for us. It is a huge mistake to say, well, this part of God's word I think is old and outdated and I won't listen to that, but this part I will. And so that means I don't have to follow this, but I can follow this. That is a mistake. It is all God's word. And the devil wants us to pick out the things that would lead us to temptation without understanding or going against other parts. And God's word, as the psalmist says in Psalm 119, is the light for our soul. There is a lot of confusion in the world, in world events and everything. How are you going to sort through it? We need to be in God's word. God's word will not tell us exactly, should I buy that car that gets better gas mileage since the gas prices are going up? It won't help you with that specific decision, but it will help you in your thinking and your values and saying, you need to look at the whole picture. God is in charge of everything. Even though all these crazy things are happening in the world, God is in charge of everything, and he's given you this and this and this to take care of. And he's given you this and this and this. Think through that. Pray. And God's word will help us to see that he's in charge, and what he has given us, he wants us to have, and he wants us to take care of one another. I don't think I've ever given this example since I've been here. We were in South Dakota. I was a pastor in South Dakota. And we had those four kids, four small kids. And we had a gift of an old 1976 Suburban from Deb's uncle. And it was a good, helpful gift, but it was old. This was 2001. So we had a 1976 vehicle in 2001. And Debbie needed that vehicle to go to work in winter, 30 miles away. She was working part-time at a Walmart. and coming back. I was glad that we had the Suburban for her to come through the South Dakota winters at midnight and later. And she got pulled over one time because the lights were not working. Well, that vehicle, we couldn't fix the lights. Everything was, it was just not working. And somehow, either I told my elders of the congregation at Faith Lutheran, or they perceived it, somehow the word got out. And we had a local used car dealer in town. And they said, our pastor told him, I didn't ask him to, they said, our pastor needs a new vehicle. And somebody came to me, I think one of the elders came to me, said, Pastor, I think there's a new, much newer Suburban at our Chevy dealer in town. Why don't you talk to him? I did. Yeah, that it was not even 3 years old. It was a 1999. Low mileage. And the lawyer in town wanted to get the new model, but he had kept this up very nice. And so the auto dealer in town sold us this new Suburban. And in the time, I don't know if you remember at that time, but it was very hard at the time to find a vehicle with four-wheel drive, which my wife needed, with six seat belts. It was very hard. There weren't so many crossovers and stuff like that, crossover vehicles and things like that. So we were so happy about this. And just about that time, in 2000, 2001, 2002, there came out this saying, what would Jesus drive? Well, he would drive a Suburban because that uses too much gas. That's what it was. It was supposed to be a pious, good Christian thing. And I was furious that anybody would say that because I had six people in my family and I needed six seat belts, and my wife needed four-wheel drive to get to Walmart at 12 o'clock at night and back in South Dakota winters. And to this, you can see it makes me mad to this day. That was not a Christian thing to say. That was misleading. It was coming out from the church, not LCMS, but the church somewhere. And that was from the devil. Because I needed to take care of my family, and my church, my congregation, found a way to help me. And it was a God-pleasing way. And that thing ran for a long time. We ran it to about 240,000 miles. The devil can do this. He can twist our minds into thinking, this is from God. This is the holy thing. This is what Jesus should drive. And if you listen to that, without seeing right in front of your own eyes, you have a family, you have to take care of them. This is the situation you have, and this is working out, and this is what God wants to give you at this time. This is a blessing. And that's what Scripture would lead us to see. That wasn't in my mind to share that. But you see these temptations, and you see the false teachings that can come about. So we are in God's Word, and we pray. And God's Word will help us see through decisions or endure situations according to His will. The last point on that page, pray for guidance of God's Word according to God's will, according to God's Word. God will answer. This is an absolute promise. When you pray that God would reveal His will to you, there is nothing wrong with that prayer. That God will help you make a decision, that God will see you through this time. That is the will of God. It's not like, should I buy this car or this car? What is your will? It's not that. You're asking to know God's will. And He will answer you in one way or another, or lead you along, or preserve you through the decision, whatever it is. Jesus said, and there could be so many quotes here, but I have from John 14, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. According to Christ's will. Of course, that's don't ask for anything that's sinful, that's not according to Christ's will. Whatever would glorify God. To know God's will, to live according to his will, to make good decisions, it's God's will. He will answer. He will. Sometimes our judgment isn't too good, and we make a mistake and say, I should have done this instead. Well, then God has been showing me. He's teaching me. He's keeping me in the faith. That's the main thing. The shiny things, the bright things, the shiny ideas, they're not always God's will. But we go to God's word, what it teaches us, and see the situation he's given us, and live according to that. And pray, God, God, keep me. Keep me in your will. And he will. We pray. Dear Father in heaven, we give you thanks that you have given us your word, and that in so many areas in our life, this word can help us and take us through and carry us and discern what is good and what is evil. Help us to always increase in the knowledge and faith of your word. Help us to pray to you more often about decisions that we have, or frustrations or confusions that we have. We ask you always, whatever decision we make, it would to glorify you and to help our family or to help our neighbor. Help us not to be misled, but to have faith in Christ, faith in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.